Hi everyone, this is Vikas from Microsoft SQL Service. We have Shravani with me. She's going to talk about the merge application. And thanks for joining this session. Today we are going to talk about SQL Server replication. We are going to cover a different type of replication, how the workflow looks like, some of the internal of the transaction replications. We'll also talk about like merge application workflow and how the metadata looks like, and some of the supportability aspect of the SQL Server availability group, replication with SQL Server availability group. And then we will have one demo on that. Okay, just one request. I just want to, you know, if you have any question, just write it down and we can take all those questions toward the end of the session, because we have a good amount of content to cover today. So with that, I'll proceed further. The key takeaway. So after this session, you will know how the transaction replication workflow looks like, how the data flow from publisher to distributor or distributor to subscriber, and some of the internals, like how the threads label things work. And I'm briefly going to cover about how the top performance issue with the transaction replication and what are the things you need to look at to be able to understand the issue and to be able to troubleshoot this further. Shravani going to cover what the merged application, as I said, the metadata involved, and how you can track the transaction, like how it's flowing from pub to sub or sub to pub. Okay, so what is replication? So replication is the process of sharing the information between database, and this to ensure the content is consistent between system. So we need to make sure that the order of transaction is maintained while we are moving it from publisher to the subscriber, or in case of merge replication, if we are moving any data from subscriber to the publisher. SQL Server replication service that are used by SQL Server to replicate and synchronize database object. Now, you can present one article or table, or you can, you know, publish more than one table in publication. You can replicate all the data within one article, or you can move a subset of the data. So those kind of liberty which you get when you use a replication, there are different flavor of replication, and each flavor give you a different power. Okay, so quickly I'm going to talk about what is the top component involved in SQL Server replication, and what exactly that means, because I'm going to use these terms very frequently in this entire slide. So let's talk about publisher. Publisher is just nothing but a SQL Server instance, wherein you have your databases, you have your tables, views, and stored procedure. The publication is a collection of articles. Now, article can be your tables, it can be your stored procedure, it can be your views. So basically, you can also replicate stored procedure execution to your subscriber. Many people don't know this. They just think that it's just for the table and the articles, but it doesn't look like. So it's for the stored procedure as well. Okay, subscriber. A subscriber is basically who subscribe for this publication, all the article which is published under the publication. So you can subscribe it. So for example, if publication is having three articles, all the changes which is happening against those three articles will flow to the subscriber. Okay. I'll cover this pull agent a little bit later. So what is distributor? Distributor you can consider as a central server, which basically enable replication to, you know, move the data from one place to other. For example, in transaction replication, data flow from publisher to the distributor first and then the subscriber. There are different way the data basically move from distributor to the subscriber. There are many moving parts. So for example, we have log reader agent, which basically runs on the publication against the database, and it scans the transaction log file and then move the changes to the distributor. So we have a merge agent, which basically helps synchronize the data if you're using a merged application. If you talk about snapshot agent, so what happened is, for example, if you have created a publication and that contains some articles, if you run a snapshot agent, what exactly it does is it basically create the metadata of the table, for example, the schema, indexes, foreign key, and the data. And then after, the distribution agent push that information to the subscriber. So basically, it typically helps to initialize our subscriber. So there are different ways you can initialize your subscriber. One of the ways is snapshot agent. Other are like initialize from backup. You can also import and export the data and then initialize your subscriber. But most of the time, I've seen snapshot agent is the most robust or the faster way you can, you know, initialize your subscriber with that. We are going to cover about each agent's information in very detail, like how it works internally. So at this point of time, I'm just giving you a very high level overview.
Okay.
I'm pretty much sure you guys know about like the type of application which SQL Server offer, but just for the sake of completeness, let me explain it. We have three type at the higher level replication. One is snapshot, wherein you take the snapshot of the database and then you push it to the subscriber. This is considered as most expensive replication type because it holds the lock on the table till it's complete. So this also caused a lot of network thing because it pushing the entire amount of data over the network. So it's considered as most expensive replication type. The second type is transaction replication, wherein data flow from publisher to the subscriber. Okay. Now this has further two variety. One is peer-to-peer replication, second is bi-directional replication. So in peer-to-peer application, I've seen customer using as a scale-out option or the high availability option, wherein you can have up to 10 nodes, wherein each publication acts like a publisher as well as subscriber. So for example, all the changes which is happening on node A will flow to node B, and then all the changes will happening on the node B will come to the A. But typically I would say the implementation part which I have seen for peer-to-peer is it's more of read-only and write-only workload, just to differentiate the workload. So what customer do is like they redirect their read-only workload to one node and all that DDL and DML changes to the other node. This is just to ensure the highly transactional availability. The other type of the transaction replication is bidirectional, wherein the data basically flow back from subscriber to the publisher. So in this case, we have something called loopback concept, and there is something called curator agent, which basically move the data from subscriber to the publisher. Merged replication, this mainly used in disconnected environment, wherein you have a one master copy and you have different region, and you know what they do is they are doing some work throughout the day. Toward the end of the day, they connect to the server and synchronize all the changes with the master copy. So merged application give you a lot of control, like what subscriber can get. It can get a subset of data. It can get only those data which is required for that specific subscriber. So it has a lot of advantage, like the conflict handling is much, much better as compared to the other replication type.
Okay.
So let's talk about transaction replication. So we talk about you have a snapshot agent, which basically what happened is you created a publication in the database and which probably contained 5 and 6 table. You generated a snapshot and initialized your subscriber. Okay. After that, there are changes which is happening against the databases, and we need to move those changes from publisher to subscriber. Now, how this entire thing happened? For that, there is something called log reader agent, and what exactly that does is it read your transaction log file in serial fashion. It doesn't read that in a parallel way because it's a serial fashion thing, and it basically what happened is it has two thread. One is called reader thread, another is writer thread. So for example, what exactly it does is it execute the store procedure called SP underscore REPL CMD, which is basically a REPL for the XP underscore REPL CMD. This basically scan the transaction log file and, you know, just look for all the transaction against those article which is marked for replication. It doesn't replicate everything, but only those article which are marked for the replication. Okay. And we have a writer thread, okay? So basically reader thread, what exactly, so as I said, let's scan the log and then it create an in-memory table and it push those information into that in-memory table. And then we have a writer thread which is comes into the picture and it read that information from the queue, the in-memory table, and then write those information back to the distribution database. Now, it doesn't copy and write the information in plain simple word. It actually prepare the commands and then insert those commands to the distribution database. And there are two tables called MS REPL transaction table and MS REPL commands table. In that, those two tables, it write those commands and transaction information. Okay. Now, this is the log reader agent at the high level, wherein the reader thread is reading the data and writer thread pushing the information to the distribution. Now, how the data, once the data is arrived at the distribution, how things happen. So now we have distribution agent reader thread, which basically execute a store procedure called SP underscore MS get underscore REPL command. And this basically pull the data from the MS REPL commands table and MS REPL transaction table, and then after it put that in an internal queue, okay? And then writer thread basically pick those command from the queue and then write it or execute on the subscriber. So on the subscriber side, we don't have any you know, procedure which we basically write it. It just like for each article we prepare a different procedure. The naming convention you will see is, for example, SP underscore MS UPT, that is used for the update. SP underscore MS INS, that is used for the insert command. So the basically idea is, for example, if you are, you know, performing 1 million changes on the publisher, and if we try to replicate those changes to the subscriber as a simple ad hoc statement, then this will cause lot of recompilation. Now, to overcome from that situation, this has been optimized further. So we are passing the update and the insert and the delete in a procedure. So this will not cause huge amount of recompilation on the subscriber. That's the whole idea of using this as a procedure. So again, this is like very high level idea. Let me talk about, so how the reader thread scan the log file, how it find the marker, and then after it, I'll move further. So log reader agent basically go ahead and, you know, it gets created the minute you configure the publication. And once it start running, it go through the log file and then scan for the starting LSN point. Once it find the begin LSN for it, it basically move further and try to figure out how many records are marked for replication. So let me show you this as in like step by step, so how it looks like. So for example, the log reader agent started and it's fine that there is a lesson starting at 19. There is an update associated with the article and I need to, you know, read the transaction, the entire transaction. So it starts reading the transaction and it basically, by default, it pick 500 committed transaction in one scan. Okay. And then after it try to read it, it might find a transaction which is not marked for replication, maybe related to some other article which is not part of publication, or maybe a rebuild indexes or some maintenance activities happen. We do not, replicate those things. So basically what we do, we ignore those changes. And then after, once we find a 500 committed transaction, so basically internally it build a hash table and it put all those information into that hash table. So this is called the first scan of the transaction log file. In the second scan, what happened is it tried to see in those 500 committed transaction, do we have any transaction which is rolled back at later point of time or partially completed, like say point, and it basically update that information into the hash table. In the third phase, it tried to scan the log file for any DDL operations, if there is any DDL changes happen against any article, and then it basically go ahead and update the hash table. So for example, if there is any DDL changes happen, there is a table called sys-trans schema. There would be, you will see an entry there. So basically we go through this table and try to understand if there is any DDL changes happen. In the fourth phase of log reader agent scanning, basically we go ahead and prepare the commands. So we prepare all the changes which has happened. For example, insert, update, delete, whatever happened, we prepare those command and put that in memory queue, from where the writer thread basically pick those changes and write it to the distribution. I'm going to show that in a demo, so you'll have a fair understanding. So, but before that, let me give you some information about how the transition looks like. So for example, consider this situation. You have a table called employee and you have inserted this value 57. And what exactly the log reader agent will do in the fourth phase is it convert that into a procedure. Okay, its command is sp underscore msins underscore emp, and then the change is basically all the three value basically, and this will be inserted inside the distribution. Okay. Now, thing is, these are procedure not pre-created. So basically, once you generate the snapshot, it basically go ahead and generate this metadata on the subscriber side. So when we are calling these procedure on the subscriber, we are able to execute it and we don't get invalid object or something like that. Okay. Now, so for example, this is how the update looks like. So for example, you updated the table and you set the phone value to 521, then how the changes will show. So we will going to copy the primary key and the change, because we know that the primary key is unique. So we can go ahead there and execute the command update table where primary key is this and set the phone number to 521 value. So this is how the changes flow if you're performing any update or insert. But there is a one catch over here. So for example, if you are updating a table or the row or column which has a unique constant, in that case the changes will flow as in delete followed by insert. Okay, so for example, you have a query called update table name where you have put a range and that query basically updated maybe 1 million rows, the number of command which will flow from your publisher to subscriber can be 2 million, because it will flow as a delete and then followed by insert. However, there is a trace flag using which you can, you know, change this behavior, and you can switch back to the singleton transaction instead of pair of delete followed by insert. And yeah, this is well documented in the KV article. But yeah, you need to be careful if you're updating a column which contains the unique constant. In that case, the changes will flow as a delete followed by insert. Okay, so this is about the log reader agents. Now we are going to discuss about the distribution agent. There's a lot of noise. Okay, thanks. So the role of the distribution agent is basically read from the distribution database, mainly two table called MSREPL commands and the transition table. And then after move those information, you with the help of distribution agent to the subscriber database. You can have one subscriber database, you can have multiple subscriber database, which can be located on same instance or multiple instance or different geographical areas. So changes will be flow using the distribution agent. Okay, so let's talk about what exactly the command it or the procedure it used to prepare those command. So basically, in the distribution agent, we also have a reader thread which basically execute sp_msget_repl_commands. This basically, as I said, it read from msrepl commands and transaction table, and then it put that in queue, in the memory queue, and then your writer thread will come and then start picking those procedures as a parameter, which will be having a parameter, and then it will run directly on the subscriber. Okay, so I'm basically explaining this procedure or mentioning this procedure because this is very helpful when you are troubleshooting a latency issue. So for example, if you have taken a profiler trace and you are suspecting some issue with the reader thread, you know what procedure you need to look at to troubleshoot the issue. If you don't know the procedure name, then it would be very difficult to understand where the problem is. But if you have the procedure name, you can, you know, check it, what is the execution duration of that procedure, if it is IO intensive or CPU, or if there is anything going on there, then probably you can get hint from there and then proceed further. So that's the reason I have mentioned all the procedure. So likewise, if you are troubleshooting the issue on the subscriber side, then the procedure like sp_msins, those sort of procedure or naming convention will help you to find the maybe execution plan of the procedure, or to understand for which article you are, you know, seeing the maximum performance issue. Alright. So I have this one table over here, okay, EMP master, and I have created a transition replication for that. Let me show you that really quickly. So as you can see, I have this table published over here, and this is my subscriber. I'm moving the data to the same instance. This is my subscriber. So the minute I have configured the publication, what happened in the background is, as I said, the snapshot agent start and then, you know, generate the metadata and the data. So this also does one thing. This actually flip the bit for the table, what is replicated to one. What that mean is this table now participating in the replication. So all the changes which is going to happen against this table needs to be replicated. And you know, SQL Server can't truncate that specific entry from the log file, even if the recovery model is set to simple. So we have to wait for log reader agent to process the changes for this table, and only after that we can move further. So okay, so basically what I have done, I have executed this update query, and this basically updated 10 rows. So let's see how the log looks like. So if the database and the table is participating in the replication, if you are performing any changes against the article, it will be marked for replication. You can pull that information using a description is equal to replicate. So what I've done here is I know that there is a transaction ID here. So the last commit is happened for this transaction here. So just to get the complete information about that transaction, what I'm going to do here is I've just copied this transaction from here, and then I'm going to run this query again. Let's see what is happening here. Okay. So I understand that this is a update transaction, and there are like 10 rows which got updated after that. And this is my starting point, the begin transaction, which generated this log sequence number. And this is the place wherein the commit is happening. Okay. And this is the log sequence number for that. And I know that the allocation unit is this table, so which is basically participating in the replication. So I'm going to, tie these information to the other counter. So just bear with me for some time. So let me see what exactly this return. If I execute a DBCC open TRAN, this is telling me that this is the oldest distributed LSN, okay? And this is the oldest non-distributed LSN. Okay, this is basically a decimal representation of the log sequence number. So for example, if you convert this to 38 to hex code, so it's 26, okay? And this is C8 and this is 1. So now let me go back to the transaction. Okay, so this is 26 and C8 and 001. So this is in format of 8, 8 and 4 digit. So for example, if you convert that to open TRAN, then you will get, okay, this is the point my log reader agent going to start scanning the next time it runs, because your transaction log file can be maybe 100 GB or 200 GB. It can't really scan everything. So it keep a marker information in the in-memory DB table, and it pull those information from there, and then after, start scanning those information. All right. So this is about DBCC open run. There are many other, procedure using which you can pull this information. So for example, REPL counter. So this is telling me that for this database, there is a one transaction which is pending. I would say don't go by name. It's saying replicated transaction, but it's not. It's basically there is a one transaction which is pending. Based on the log reader agent, which is, executed last time, it calculated that the rate of, replication is 21 transaction per second, and there is a latency information. But I'm more interested in this. Okay. This is telling me that this is the starting point of the log reader agent wherein it's going to scan, it starts scanning. But this is the commit LSN number, okay? So this is how it looks like. Now, okay, so let me go back. One second, it's behaving. Okay, so basically I have put this information in this chart, and probably this will help you to understand the metadata. And I'm paying more attention to this to make sure this is absolutely clear. So as I said, I have executed this command, and I know that this is my begin transaction sequence number, log sequence number, and this is the commit log sequence number. If I execute a REPL counter, then basically it's telling me that my log reader agent going to start from here. And the next commit LSN for the same transaction is this, okay? This guy is telling me that the same information, that this is my begin pointer, okay? Now, if you don't want to do this conversion, which I have done from decimal to hex code, you can execute a DBCC table command for the database, you need to enable 3604 traceflag before you run this command, and you can pull these three things: the dist last lsn, REPL begin lsn, REPL next lsn. So you don't have to do those conversion thing. It will tell you, okay, this is my next lsn, the commit lsn basically, and this is my starting point, and this is the last committed lsn move to the distributor. Now how we can confirm that? Let me go back and run some query here. So if you see this, this will be matching with the one which I'm showing from the DB table output. Okay. Moving further, while troubleshooting issue, for example, if your LogRater agent is not working or failing with some error message, so in that case, we typically execute sp underscore REPL CMD command just to understand like how the transition looks like, if there is anything special about it. So this just give me the exact sequence number, exact ID and sequence number information, but it doesn't give me the command information. So for better readability, what we can do is we can execute REPL show CMDs command. So if you see this toward the end, you will see the update which I have done. So there is a one single update which I have done on the publisher database, but this is replicating as in 10 execution as in command. Okay, so as you can see, 3, 4, 5, 6, this is primary key and the value with which I have updated, and after that it just contains some mapping sort of thing. So this typically I use just in case if I want to know for which article I'm getting an error message, if there is anything specific. So we have seen many issue in past, like it caused some corruption or something. So in those scenario, what we do is we basically execute a REPL done command, getting the exact ID and sequence number from this output, and then we run REPL restart. So all the command which I'm executing is like this and this, okay? Whenever you execute this command, it will open a handle in the log file. So you have to execute this command to flush it. Otherwise, your log reader agent will not work. Okay. This is about the log reader agent, like what is starting point, how we can detect like what is the last committed lsn is moved to the distribution database. Now let's talk about the distribution. Okay, so now what I'm going to do here is, so I understand that this is the last the command or the transaction which is moved to the distribution, and this is the entry time. Now we need to understand what is the last transaction which is received by subscription, okay? Because whenever the distribution agent runs, it try to understand what is the data which is already received by a subscriber, and then after, I need to start recording all the changes after that and then push it. So for that, we have a one table on the subscriber side called MS replication underscore subscription, okay? And we have a column called transaction underscore timestamp. So using this, so if for example, if I copy the output from here, okay, and this output, if I remove this extra zero, then it will match. So I know that the transaction which is received on distribution around this time frame is already move to subscriber. So in this way, you can at least track like how many transactions are left and what is the current transaction rate, I'm sorry. And you can track the flow of the transaction with the help of this. Okay. 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 So just want to cover like few things like if you are like troubleshooting a transition replication issue, what are the couple of things you can look at? So you can use a tracer token basically to identify the problem if there is any slowness between publisher to distributor and distributor to subscriber, and based on that you can focus on that specific agent. There is one table called MS Log Reader history table, which basically can give you a stats related information, like what is the performance statistics looks like, because we used to take a profiler trace and try to understand which part of thread or reader or writer which is slow. But the same information you can obtain using a MS Log Reader agent history or the MS distribution underscore history table, and then move further. So let's talk about how the output looks like. So for example, if you query this table, this is how the output looks like. We need to focus on the stats state, okay? Currently it's showing one, that means it's working fine. But let me talk about some of the state. So over here we have three state. For example, if you are seeing a two state, that means your writer thread is basically struggling. If you are seeing a state number three, that means your reader thread is taking long time and your writer thread is just waiting. Let me show you this with an example. So over here you can see a state two, and as you can see, the reader fetch time is some 14 seconds and wait is 193, but on the other hand, that you will see a writer thread is waiting for more than 9 seconds. Okay, let me cover some of the common issue. So for example, if you're seeing a log reader thread latency issue, wherein reader thread is struggling, then what you can do is you can execute DBCC OpenTron and look at this non-distributed LSN, see if it is moving. With the help of SP underscore REPL counter procedure, you can understand what is the current transaction rate. You may also want to check if the number of VLF virtual log file in the database is huge, because I've seen many cases wherein log reader agent, the reader's thread struggle a lot. Apart from that, check if there is huge amount of transaction which is done. So other thing which I've seen is, for example, if you have done some maintenance activity and that produced more than 50 GB or 100 GB or log file, then you will see such messages like it's scanning the log file again and again and again and again. Because of the size of the log file, it sometimes struggles. So during that time, you don't have to restart the agent. Otherwise, this is going to lose all the work which is done. So you have to wait there and check for any possible, IO related issue, because it's a more of IO intensive activity. Okay. For writer thread, since writer thread needs to write the information back to the MS REPL commands and transaction table, so you need to check if other distribution agent who are reading from the same table are taking more time, or we have large amount of rows accumulated there, or there may be the cleanup is not working properly. So if there is any it's not working, that means like you have data from months and it's not working. So you need to check those aspects while troubleshooting a writer thread latency. The other important thing is network, because if it is located on different instances, in that case you need to consider the network IO as well. Distribution reader thread latency, just want to highlight, like log reader agents, like it's write that information to the distribution. There could be a chance that the reader thread of distribution agent get blocked by that. So again, the concept, the basic of troubleshooting is same. You need to look into the table size and see if it is maybe fragmented or stats are outdated, disk related things, and then proceed further. For the reader thread latency blocking, as I said, one cause, there is a one more thing which you can do. There is a one query which I have put in this slide. using this, you can understand if there is a pattern. It, for example, if there is a large amount of transaction which is, you know, pumped by some update. For example, you executed one query which is updated 1 million transaction. Though it is executed as a one query, but changes will flow as in 1 million command. So you can talk to the developer and see if you can replicate, you know, the execution of the procedure instead of, you know, executing that as a plain simple update. Okay, so I think this is covered. So yeah, as I said, like network latency is the main thing for the writer thread latency as well. If the subscriber is located on different data center or different instance altogether. The option, so subscription stream is one thing which you can implement. This basically, you know, use more threads and, you know, move the data faster. Now I'll hand over to my colleague Shravani. She will going to cover the merged application. Thanks guys.
Thank you, Vikas. Merged application, you typically have to use, want to use merged application when you have server and client environments and situations like where the subscribers wants to make the changes offline and synchronize the changes later. So which means that the subscribers need not be connected to the network, and multiple subscribers wants to update some set of data and then move the transfer those changes to the publisher and rest of the subscribers in the replication topology. Also, if any of the one of the subscriber needs a partition of data, that is where you can do kind of filtering of the data and create filtered subscriptions and replicate just the net data changes, unlike transactional replication where you have to move every transaction to the subscriber. And there could be conflicts, and there should be a possibility of detecting the conflicts and provide some kind of resolution. So these are the some of the common scenarios where you can you will be using merged replication. And I'm going to talk about the merged replication architecture and how it works in the background, and walk you through the merge metadata information as well. So merged replication, if you look at the screen, you see, so you still have a publisher and a subscriber or a multiple subscribers, and you have a distributor database. But unlike transactional replication, in merged replication, the distributor is only responsible to keep the historical information. It does not contain any transactional related information. So in merged replication, all the transactional related information is stored in the databases itself. So the publisher and subscribers will have the transactional metadata information. And the merge replication works in phases. So you have a change tracking phase and a change enumeration phase. So there are some set of tables, the metadata tables, which will be created in your publisher and the subscriber databases, which are responsible, which keeps the information of change tracking. And the merge agent is responsible to perform the change enumeration and apply the changes at the publisher and the subscriber. So let me explain how the change tracking works. So first thing, like unlike transactional replication where the table should have a primary key, in merged replication we don't you don't need a primary key. The table, the article that is published for merged replication, the merge agent is going to create an additional column which is going to be a unique identifier column, and that will be used to identify the row uniquely across all the subscribers. So there will be one row grid column that will be added to your articles that are published for merged replication, and there are three set of tables which are which plays very important role in change tracking. One is the merge MS merge contents table, which is responsible to keep the information about the inserts and delete operations, and there is a tombstone table, which is MS merge underscore tombstone. This is responsible for all the delete operations. And there is another table which is MS merge gen history. Gen history is very important, and you see this table exists. I mean, all these three tables will be presented in the publisher and all the subscribers, and the gender history table will basically have information about all the generations which are happening in the database. So when you ask me what is a generation, so any change that happens for the underlined article in a merged replication should have a generation associated with it. Since there are multiple partners involved in the merged replication, there is a very there is a high need that you have to, you should be able to identify a row uniquely and understand where the change is initiated. So for that we have something called a generation and a generation GUID SRC, which is a again another unique identifier that can be used to uniquely identify a specific generation and track those generations. So during the change, so that is change tracking. So in change tracking, so we have set of triggers which are responsible to track the changes. So the moment you add an article to a merged publication, you will see that there will be three triggers which are created for insert, delete, and update. And every time there is a change, these triggers are fired in the background and they will make the necessary entries into the contents or tombstone table based on the DML operation that you perform. So the change tracking is happening at the time of the insert or any DML operation triggers placed. So then the change enumeration. So change enumeration is done by the merge agent. We also call it as a reconciler. And the change in during the change enumeration process, we have multiple phases. Like so when the merge agent runs, what happens? There are four phases that it has to go through. So one, you have a preparation, schema change processing phase, upload phase, and download phase. So preparation phase is the phase where it actually initiates the connection with the publisher and the subscriber and the distributor. So every subscription will have a merge agent, and the merge agent can run on demand or it can run continuous based on your requirement. And during the schema change processing phase, this is very important phase. So for example, the merge agent is running first time for that subscription. This is the phase at which the snapshot is applied to the subscriber, and the identity management is done during the schema change processing phase. And also if there are any DDL changes that has to be replicated, the DDL change replication is also takes place at schema change processing phase. Then you have an upload phase. So always whenever the merge agent runs, subscriber uploads the changes from the subscriber to the publisher, and then during the download phase, it downloads the changes from the publisher. And for the upload and the download phase, the order we process the changes is one, first we process the deletes and then we will process the updates and inserts. You can also set it at the article properties where you want to specify the order, or you just want to only process deletes. So this is how the merge reconciler works. And you need to, what is a generation? So generation is very important because every change that happens for any article which is published for merged replication should be having a generation associated with it, because that is how we are going to track the change across all the publisher and subscribers. And we need to identify if the generation is already reached a specific subscriber. We don't want to reapply the same generation again. So you have a MS merge gen history table which is present in all the parties involved, and which will contain the list of generations which are currently open, which has to be processed by the merge agent, the generations which are closed, generations which are closed but came from some other subscriber or some other partner in the replication topology. So during the reconciliation process, we calculate a common generation, which is very important. So as I mentioned, when the merge agent runs, you have a download phase and the upload phase. So subscriber always uploads the changes to the publisher. So during this phase, subscriber is your source and publisher is your destination. And during the download phase, publisher is the source and subscriber is the destination. So during this phase, we need to calculate a common generation. Common generation is basically the watermark which we use to check what are the generations which has to be replicated to the given subscriber, what are the changes that has to be moved. So the common generation is calculated using a formula, which is, it's a lower of the sent gen from the source and rec gen from the destination. If you look at this, we did not say either publisher or subscriber, because based on the phase that you are in, if it is an upload phase, the source is always the subscriber and the destination is publisher. For download, the source is going to be the publisher and the destination is going to be subscriber. So when I have to know what is my watermark, there is so you have a system table, which is sys merge subscriptions table, which will present in all the servers. You need to look at this merge subscriptions to get what is the last sent gen and rec gen for a given specific subscriber. And during the merge agent process, we use some set of system procedures like SPMS get last sent rec gen. That procedure will be triggered, which will get the current common generation or the watermark. Then the merge agent prepares the list of generations that has to be processed. And when the merge agent is running, so once the changes are processed, the merge agent closes those changes. So there is a column in your gen history table, which is very important when you are troubleshooting a merge replication, which is gen status. So whenever a generation has a value as zero, that means it is an open generation. When gen status one, it's a closed, and it's a local generation which is closed, which tells you that the generation is the change is happened on that server itself. And gen status 2 means it is closed, but the generation has come from somewhere else. That means it could be from the other publisher or any other subscriber as well. So the change is not initiated here. And there is another status, which is 3. That is only it will be temporarily used, because this is done by SPMS make generation, the store proc, which will be executed when the merge agent runs. So let me quickly explore the replication metadata, the merge metadata. Okay, so if you see, I have created a merge publication here, which has a couple of subscribers, and I just created an empty table. There is no data in my table, and I applied the snapshot. So if you look at the synchronization status, it says that applied the snapshot and merged these many changes, zero changes, zero inserts, zero updates, and zero deletes, and zero conflicts. So once the merge agent, the snapshot is applied, these are the set of the tables that you see in all the servers. So I want to quickly show you some important information that you get from these tables. Okay, so the first table is the MS Merge Gen History table. So in Gen History table, this is the GUID SRC, that is a unique identifier which is used to uniquely identify this generation. So every generation will have this unique identifier value. And when you look at the gen status for this unique identifier, so for a local change, this is always going to be 1. And if the change has come from some other subscriber, this gen status is going to be 2. So for example, you have to identify a change where it is initiated. So this is how you track it. So based on GUID SRC, and if the gen status is 2, then that means it's not a local change. It came from somewhere else. And it also, the gen history table also tells you the change count, which actually gives you the number of changes that is done for this generation. So one important thing is the generation cannot have changes related to multiple articles. So for example, your publication got 4 articles, you cannot have all the changes associated to one generation. So every article will have its own generations. So that is why if you want to identify to which article the change belongs to, there is something called article nickname. For every article that is participating in merge generation will have a nickname, and based on the article nickname, you can identify this change belongs to which article, right? And why do I see article nickname as 0 here? Because this is snapshot. this generation. So the generation one is always your snapshot agent, and it's not associated to any specific table or article. That is why you see the article nickname as zero, right? And then you also have the contents and tombstone table. For now, these tables are empty. So let me quickly insert some data and show you what happens. Sorry about that. Just give me 1 minute. Yeah, my SSM has got crashed. Let me quickly open it again. So as I mentioned, generation one is always your snapshot, and it will not have any article nickname. And when the merge agent is not yet run, and if you are performing any insert operation or any DML operation, the triggers will be fired, the merge triggers will be fired in the background, and they will track the changes and they make the necessary changes to the contents and tombstone table. And when merge agent runs, you have to identify the common generation and prepare a list of generations which has to be processed by the merge agent in this run. And it's going to populate those changes to the subscriber. So I'll quickly show you. So in my publisher, so I don't have any data in my employee table in the publisher. So I'm going to just make some insert and show you how the MS merge contents and tombstone table look like. Okay, I have inserted some data into my publisher for the employee table, and I'll quickly show you the set of triggers that will be created when you publish an article for replication. So if you see, these are the triggers which are created, delete, insert, update triggers that are created for my table. And now if you look at my gen history, tombstone and contents table, we have performed two inserts. So if you see, there is an additional row that is inserted into your MS gen history table, and if you see, the generation is 2. So this generation could be any value. Whenever you have to join your publisher and subscribers, don't join using the generation, because this is a local. You always have to use GUID SRC if you have to join your generations between publishers and subscribers. And if you look at this, so this is generation number 2, and the article nickname, now it has an article nickname. And how will you know what is my article? So when you have multiple articles, and if you want to know the article nickname, there is a sys merge articles table which will have all the articles and their nicknames information, right? And if you see, the gen status is 0. 0 means it is an open generation, which is not yet closed. This generation will be only closed when the merge agent is running, okay? And the number of changes are 2, because we made 2 inserts, okay? And since it is an insert operation, you see that entry into your contents table, your tombstone is still empty because we have not performed any delete operation. And in the contents table, the important thing is this row grid, because this is the value that you will be using to uniquely identify this row inside my source table. So when you look at your, if you query your publisher table where you have made the insert, now you see 2 inserts that happen, and this is the row grid. So if you look at this, if I have to join my source table with the contents table, I have to use this row grid to join these 2 tables, and eventually you will end up tracking the entire row that is inserted into your publisher, right? So if you see, right now the gen status is 0, and since the changes are not moved to the other any of my subscribers, you will see that generation is never reached this subscriber. So the moment you do a sync I'm going to just synchronize it and show you. Okay, so if you see, it says two data changes are processed in which there are two inserts, there are no conflicts. So now if you look at the same gen history table, you will see that the generation has reached to your subscriber. Okay, so if you see this, the generation is reached and it is closed. If you see, the gen status is 2 and change count is 2. Now if you ask, if you see why the gen status is 2, because the change is not a local change and it has come from somewhere else. Okay, so this is how you have to track the metadata information. And I also told you we have to calculate the common generation. The common generation can be calculated by this merge subscriptions table, which will be presented in all the servers. So if you look at this, for this MVP merge publisher, the last sent gen is 1, the generation 1, and the received gen is 2, right? So whenever there is a next change that happens, it will calculate based on the last sent gen and the received gen. We calculate the common generation and propagate the list of the changes that we have to send to the other partners. So this is how the merge replication works. This is some of the metadata that you have to look to see if there are any data convergence issues. You have to check whether the generation has reached to a given subscriber or not. And also in gen history, you have another important column, which is called call date, which basically tells you when this generation is inserted into this table. So based on this, you will you can also identify when this change is initiated for that specific publisher or the subscriber. So this is all about the replication merge metadata. I see we are running out of time. So now let's quickly talk about always on with replication. Just want to quickly show what is supported and what is not supported. So you can have a publisher, which publisher database can be part of availability group, and the subscriber database can be also part of AG. Distributor cannot participate in an availability group. And when it comes to the types of replications, the transactional and merged replication is supported with always on availability groups. The snapshot change data capture is also supported. Change data capture also works based on transactional replication concepts itself. And the bidirectional or peer-to-peer is not supported with availability group databases. So when you configure, when you have to configure a publisher as a from an AG, you have to, all we have to do is you should have a listener, and there is a stored proc that you have to execute in the distribution database, which is responsible to redirect the connections from the real server to the listener itself. So that SP redirect publisher is what we have to do. And so when you fail over the subscriber, it depends on the what kind of subscriptions you are using. If it is a pull subscription, the agent cannot connect to the instance anymore, and you just have to restart your distribution agent. Push subscriber will not work because it cannot connect to the original subscriber anymore. So I think with this, we are done with the PPT and question. So if you have any questions, we are open for questions.